Coach is filmed before a studio audience.
This is not about football. This is about right and wrong. Now, I'm not going to yell and scream at you guys because I am not angry. No, I am disappointed. Disappointed that some of you have been accepting free food and beer at the pub. And I'm disappointed that some of you have been getting passes to the campus movie theater. And disappointed that some of you think it's your God-given right to steal towels from the locker room. There is only one word to describe the way I am feeling. I am just plain disillusioned. Disappointed.
Hey, Dad. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were in a meeting.
Yeah, just give me a second here, will you, Kelly? Now, let's get one thing straight. Just because you are members of this football team does not give you special privileges. Everybody at this university, every student, every faculty member is treated exactly the same. What is it, sweetheart?
I'm sorry, Dad. I was just thinking about giving Mom a call. Do you think I could use the Watts line?
Well, sure, sweetheart. Go ahead. Talk as long as you want to. Dismissed!
Better go. Yeah, I just walked in and I should give him his office back. Yeah, he's standing right here. You want to say hi? Oh, yeah, I understand. Sure. Okay. Bye-bye. She had to run.
Well, you know, Kelly, your mom and I have been divorced 16 years. I don't take that stuff personally. I didn't want to talk to her either.
Yeah, well, I gotta run too. Thanks for letting me use your phone.
Hey, Coach.
Hi,
Kelly. Coach, that speech you gave to the players about not stealing stuff really worked.
Yeah?
Yeah. So far, the guys have turned in a bunch of towels, some tape, a soap dispenser, and the keys to my van.
All right, duh. That means you start driving again.
As soon as they give me my tires back.
Have you heard the news yet?
What news?
Oh, you haven't heard then. God, I'm gonna have to tell you. I thought you'd be the first person they called.
Call about what?
Earl Risendale died this morning.
What?
I just heard about it 10 minutes ago myself.
Holy smokes.
How?
Heart attack. Went just like that. Sudden death. Of course, being the great football fan he was, that's probably the way he wanted to go.
Jeez, I just can't believe it. I saw Earl at last weekend's game. I mean, he was cheering and carrying on like he always does. His face was beet red and the veins are sticking out in his neck. Man, he looked great.
Yeah. No, the team's gonna miss him.
Yeah, what he's given financially.
No, he donated millions. You'd think someone would have called. You know, you pick up a phone, you dial it, it's simple.
Well, loser, I don't care if nobody called me. I mean, what's important is that Minnesota State has lost a great man and a great friend.
Hey, Coach, I know this is really sad and everything, and I know this is a really big loss for the school, but with Mr. Risendale dead, doesn't that mean that we can...
Mean what, Dauber? Mean what? And now we're going to get all the money that Earl promised he'd leave to the football program? And now, just because our richest alumni is dead, we're entitled to a new athletic center? Is that what you were thinking?
Actually, that's more than I was thinking.
I tell you, I can't think about that stuff right now. No amount of money is going to make up for the loss I'm feeling. Not even $10.2 million for an athletic facility and covered parking. Gentlemen, I'd like to have a moment of silence, if I may. Here it is. The Earl J. Rizzendoe Athletic Center. Boy, you are looking at what may be the finest training facility in the country. State-of-the-art weight and conditioning rooms, first-class player lounges, coaches' suites. Gentlemen, welcome to the big time!
Yeah!
Hayden,
Luther, Dapper.
Howard, come on in, babe. Look, we just got a sketch of the new athletic facility. Wait till you see it, Howard. 58,000 square feet of the finest architecture money can buy, and 96 square feet of it is yours, Howie. Look, right up here in the corner. Howard J. Burley, athletic director. What do you think?
I think we shouldn't get too attached to it.
What do you mean?
Oh, man, what happened?
Well, I just got off the phone with Earl's widow. There isn't going to be any $10.2 million athletic center.
Why not?
Earl never put his wishes in writing. He left everything to his wife, and she says there are more important things to do with the money.
Like what?
She's putting the whole $10 million into medical research.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I knew this was going to happen. Every time stuff starts going our way, it just keeps right on going.
Look, damn it, I'm not going to let it happen. Now, Earl promised us that money. I think morally it's ours, isn't it? Isn't there something we can do?
We can go into medical research.
Count me out.
Hey, look, wait a minute. What if I was to go over there and try to talk her out?
Oh, you're not going anywhere. If anybody is going to talk to her, it's going to be me. Luth, Dad, can I have a word alone with the coach?
We're going to be stuck in this basement for the rest of my life trying to coach people in a bomb shelter.
You talk to her.
You said you wanted to.
I just said that in front of the guys. I want them to know who's boss around here.
Howard, I think they know who's boss around here.
Peyton, we have got to get this money, and you can do it. You're a great salesman. You can think on your feet.
Yeah, I know. That's why I wanted to do it.
Oh. Good. Well, it's against my better judgment, but if you insist on talking to her, you've got my permission. Luther, Dabber.
So he's scared to go talk to her, huh?
Yeah.
Mrs. Rizzendoe.
Come in, Coach Fox. Thank you, Martha.
Well, I want to thank you for seeing me. I know this is still a difficult time for you.
Well, I haven't been seeing very many people these past few weeks, it's true. But I know how fond Earl was of you. I thought the least I could do was hear what you had to say.
Well, I sure never met a football fan like your husband.
Yes, he loved the game.
Yeah. Wow, look at this. Ticket stubs, the 1946 homecoming game. Hey, and the first Screaming Eagles pennant. Boy, this is great stuff. There's a lifetime of football right here in this room. What are you going to do with it all?
Throw it out.
Beg your pardon?
Coach Fox, let me be honest. I never really liked football. It was Earl's passion, but it never held any interest for me.
Ah, well, you're talking about football, the game. I never liked that either. I'm talking about football, the dream. See, I'm here to talk about my kind of football. More importantly, I am here to talk about Earl's kind of football.
Will this take long?
Just a couple of minutes, I think.
It's just that I'm meeting the head of the medical center at 3.
Well, geez, I'm glad I didn't hit any traffic then. I'll cut this short then. You know, Earl used to say to me, Coach, you're not just creating winners in the game of football, but you're creating winners in the game of life. You know, I think he was right. I am turning boys into men, and frankly, that's a contribution that I am very, very proud of.
I'm no expert, Coach Fox. But from what I know of football, all it does is take innocent boys and systematically turn them into mindless barbarians.
And you say you're no expert? But let's look at the important side of football, that side that creates healthy minds and healthy bodies. Let's take the ideal football player. He's got a heart like a locomotive, pumping drug-free blood through arteries that run as clean and clear as mountain streams. And then he strides downfield on legs of steel. And all that time, he maintains a C average? Hey, come on. These guys are fit for life. And the Earl J. Rizzendoe Athletic Center is going to make them stronger, faster, and fitter.
Yes, provided it doesn't cripple them first.
Look, you know, Mrs. Rizzendoe, I have to be honest. I hate football. But it does create heroes, and heroes are what made this country great. I'm just trying to save America.
Coach Fox, I admire your passion. But my mind is made up. I'm sorry.
No, I guess I should be the one apologizing, Miss Risendore. I think it was a mistake to come at you with all this stuff, with Earl's passing still so recent and everything. I know you got other things on your mind.
I'm fine, Coach Fox, really.
Well, whatever. If I could make a suggestion, if I may, maybe I could come back a little later when you've had some time to recover, and I know you're still feeling, you know...
Don't tell me how I'm feeling. You have no idea how I feel.
Well, I think I may have some idea of how you feel. I mean, I don't want to diminish your loss or anything, but, I mean, I know I've lost people close to me.
Someone as close as a spouse?
Well, in all honesty, yes.
You've lost your wife?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, it wasn't something I really intended to talk about, you know.
You'll have to forgive me for lashing out at you. I guess I'm not coping with this as well as I thought I was.
Oh, no, no, no. I think you're doing wonderfully.
Well, losing her must have been a shock.
No, we pretty much saw it coming. Do you have time for me to just share one small story with you?
Please.
You know, Beth, that was my wife. Beth and I had a daughter while we were still together, and Beth had a wish. It was a lot like Earl's. It wasn't down in writing or anything. It was just a simple request. And that was that Kelly, that's my daughter, be raised with a lot of love and get a great education. And I've done what I could to honor that wish. And Kelly's here with me at Minnesota State. And I can guarantee you, Miss Risendore, that Beth knows that Kelly is right here with her dad. And I can assure you of something else, Mrs. Risendore, that if you go ahead and build this athletic center, Earl is going to know that you honored his wish. And every time you pass it, you know, maybe you'll feel that just a little part of Earl is right here with us.
Coach Fox, you disarm me. I think I'm beginning to see why Earl was so fond of you. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to think over what you said, and perhaps we can reach some compromise. Why don't you join me for dinner tomorrow night, and we'll discuss it further.
Oh, thank you. That would mean a lot to me.
I'll see you at 7.
All right.
Oh, don't forget your sketch.
Well, why don't I leave that with you?
Is it a good sign or a bad sign that he's not back yet?
It's a good sign. It's a good sign. It means there's hope.
If he got the money, he'd be back by now. It's a bad sign.
Did you ever hear positive thinking?
Yeah, I don't think it works.
You look happy. Are you happy?
Think so.
Ah! Really?
Well, we're not there yet, but she's talking about some sort of compromise. Way to go, Coach!
Yeah. I knew if anybody could do it, you could. What's the next step?
We're having dinner tomorrow night.
All right!
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I really didn't think you could pull it off.
Luther, you were pessimistic?
No, really, ask them. I was real doubting Thomas, but from now on, I'm a believer, I'll tell you that.
Well, there is just one little wrinkle I'm going to have to iron out.
Oh, something's wrong.
No, nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong. Just let me ask you a question. If someone came up to you and said, I lost my wife, what would that mean to you?
That means she's dead.
What else could it mean?
Nothing.
Think.
You mean like you lost her in a mall or something like that?
Maybe. I mean, what about I lost her like I divorced her?
I never heard anything like that.
Huh. Luther, Dabber, could you excuse the coach and me for a minute?
It'd be out in the hall, eh? Been through this kind of thing before. I'll tell you, there's something wrong. You can count on it.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Mrs. Risendoe and I were talking about feelings and about grief and about losing people close to us, and I just mentioned to her how I lost Beth.
You told Mrs. Risendoe Beth died?
I didn't say she died. Mrs. Risendoe just assumed it, and when she did, she seemed to like me a lot better, Howie.
In other words, you played on her sympathy.
Well, kind of.
Hayden, do you know what you are?
What?
A genius! I never would have had the nerve to do what you did, to lie like that right off the top of your head.
Well, technically, it wasn't a lie.
Oh, come on, it was a great lie. It was vintage Hayden Fox. You're the best.
Well, it was just a reflex thing, you know. Coach here. Oh, Mrs. Risendoe, hi. Kelly?
Well, gee, well, that's awfully nice of you to include her, but, Mrs. Risendoe, could you hold on for just one second, please? She wants me to bring Kelly to dinner.
Great!
Well, I can't ask Kelly to pretend her mother's dead. I mean, I think that's wrong somehow.
You have to! You don't have any choice. If you try to turn back now, we'll lose everything.
Hi, Mrs. Risendoe? Yeah, I just had to go to the bathroom for a second. Look, yeah, I think Kelly would love to come, and I'd be looking forward to it, too. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're in now.
Oh, man, what am I going to say to Kelly?
Kelly will understand.
How do you know that?
She's the Fox's daughter.
Dad?
Hey, sweetheart. Thanks for coming early.
So, what did you want to talk to me about?
Well, just something about tonight. Boy, look at that dress. Now, I like that dress.
Oh, thank you. Mom bought it for me.
Did she? Well, your mom always had great taste. Has great taste.
Well, Dad, I am really looking forward to this. You know, I've never had dinner in the mansion before.
Yeah, well, see, now, that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. I don't want you to get the wrong idea about tonight, you know? I mean, it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be.
I just thought it was going to be fun.
Right. It's not going to be that.
It's not?
No, you see, tonight's dinner is a fundraising dinner.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, well, okay. The thing about fundraising is it's not always pretty, Kelly. You know, sometimes you got to tell people what you think they want to hear, and you can't always do that in complete honesty.
Dad, you don't have to explain all this stuff to me. I mean, I understand about fundraising and salesmanship and all that stuff. You know, you're not going to shock me, okay? I trust you.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I knew you'd never do anything terrible.
How do you know that?
Well, because for all your faults, Mom always said that you had a line that you wouldn't cross. You know, she said that deep down, somewhere in there, you had a conscience.
Your mom said that? Did she ever say anything else nice about me?
Yeah. Can't think of anything right off hand. Was there something that you wanted me to do tonight?
Yeah. What I think I want you to do, sweetheart, is not go with me.
You mean you want to take two cars?
Oh, I love you. Oh, sweetheart, no, this is not a carpool problem. See, I want you to stay here tonight.
Why?
Trust me.
Okay, I will. But, Dad, next time you're going to ask me to trust you, will you do it before I get all dressed up?
Hey, if I'm thinking that far ahead, you can count on it.
Mrs. Risendoe should be in shortly.
Thank you.
Would you like anything to drink?
Did you have a beer?
Just before you got here. Why? Can you smell it?
No, I meant, can I have one?
Oh.
Coach Fox.
Mrs. Risendoe.
Isn't your daughter with you?
No, ma'am. I'm sorry. She couldn't make it. You see, right at the last minute, she came down with a horrible case of the flu. Boy, I tell you, it was just awful. I mean, I don't want to go into details, but boy, it would have spoiled dinner, believe you me. Hope you understand.
Well, I'm disappointed, of course, but I understand. Do give her my best.
I sure will.
It's for him.
Thank you.
Well, I realize we haven't eaten yet, but I don't see any reason to prolong the suspense.
Oh, what's this?
Open it.
Wow.
That's just the down payment, of course. You'll get another $9.2 million when you're ready to start building.
You mean we beat out medical research? Man, I can't believe this. I've never held a check for $1 million. I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything. Why don't we go in to dinner?
Mrs. Risendell, wait. There is something I want to say. Something that's been bugging me since yesterday, and before I really accept this check, you know, I'd kind of like to put all my cards on the table.
What do you mean?
Well, it's probably nothing. I'm just a guy with an overactive conscience, I guess. Yesterday when we were talking and having such a good time and everything, what did you think I actually meant when I said that I'd lost my wife?
That she died.
Oh, golly. Well, see, I was afraid of that.
I beg your pardon?
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you, Mrs. Risendell. You see, my wife is not technically dead.
Well, what do you mean, not technically?
You know, I think of it like a death. Technically, we're divorced.
You lied to me.
Not technically. I swear to you, when I was saying that I lost my wife, I in no way meant to imply...
Oh, come off it, Mr. Fox.
Okay, that's a lie. But I am sorrier about it than anything I've ever done in my whole life, and that's the truth.
What kind of man are you?
I don't know. A desperate one, I guess. I just wanted that athletic center so much that I was willing to go to any length to get it. And, you know, even on my worst day, I thought there was a line I wouldn't cross over, but I crossed over it with you, and I am terribly sorry.
Just out of curiosity, do you even have a daughter?
Of course I do. I would never lie about that.
And she has the flu?
No. I just didn't want her to see this, you know? I mean, Mrs. Risendell, when I said that I lost my wife, I was just trying to show you in my own small way that I understand what it's like to suffer a great loss.
But you don't understand what it's like to suffer a great loss, do you?
No, ma'am, I don't. Now I do.
I'll have Martha show you out. Oh.
Before I go, now, I just want you to think about one thing. Now, look, I could have walked out that door just now with a check for $1 million, but I didn't. And I didn't have to tell you the truth about my wife, but I did.
What is your point, Mr. Fox?
I just hope that's worth something.
I think it is. You've saved some shred of your self-respect.
Well, I was hoping for something more. I mean, come on.